Hello and welcome to Reflections. I'm your girl, Nadine Edwards. Thank you for joining. I hope as you listen today, you will be uplifted, motivated, and inspired in your continued pursuit of becoming a better version of yourself. Today, I want to share with you on the topic, man's wisdom versus quote-unquote, God's foolishness. I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 20, which had a profound impact on my life in my early 20s and was marked as the initiating chapter that catapulted my faith. So I will read Psalm 20 verses 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, and then later on I will read verse 8. I will now read verses 4 and 5. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans to succeed. May we shout for joy over our victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Verses 6 and 7 says, Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Between verses 6 and 7, we see two classes of people. Those who trust in horses and chariots, and those who know and remember God. Let's call those who trust in horses and chariots Team Nature, since this class operates on what they can feel, touch, and make sense of. These people operate within the natural realm of their existence. The chariots and horses here could be symbolic to the speed of technology and its capabilities, medicine, politician and government, or anything that is symbolic to power. The chariots and horses could mean whatever is on the table that is presented as facts and logics, and anything outside of that is considered foolishness or a lie. The chariots and horses could also mean the consultation of mediums, whether horoscope, sorcerers, fortune tellers, or people that are clairvoyant. Then there are those who know and remember God. Let's call this class Team Faith, since this group operates outside of what is seen with the naked eye and cooperates with the quote-unquote foolishness of God. Have you ever heard the saying, there's some sense to the madness? Stick around and you'll soon understand what I mean. Whoever or whatever you place your confidence or trust in, you essentially have this expectation that this thing or person will not fail you, right? It will provide the satisfaction you need to feel safe. For that confidence to take place, you have to have some knowledge of that person or thing, yeah? Safety and security means a lot to us. And that is why we study hard, we work hard, because we want to be financially stable and to feel safe in the bubble we operate. This means for some staying in a particular organization for many years because it provides a sense of job security. There's no threat to job loss. And these people are thinking about the security of their pension or retirement. Some choose to remain in relationships that are unacceptable because of what it brings to the table for that person and their family by extension, a sense of security. We all want to feel safe and secure when we place our trust in doctors, lawyers, or insurance companies, and the party or politician we choose to govern us. At the end of the day, we all want, better yet, we all need peace of mind, because the absence of peace is anxiety, which we all shun. But do you notice that there's a steady momentum and progression of anxiety and mistrust in the world today? This is because God's word still stands true when he says in Psalm 33 verse 17, a horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. And when we take a look at Psalm 20 verse 8, it says, they are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise and stand firm. This they right here is talking about those who trust in chariots and horses. The horses can fall, the chariots can fail, and those who trust in them will also fall. So they are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Essentially, what this is saying is that all that money that you invest in the stock market or NFTs can be wiped out in the wink of an eye. That job that has been your sense of security can be lost overnight by a sudden closure, a silly mistake you never thought would catch up with you, or the company has to rationalize and send some people home. That partner you lean heavily upon, even above God, can leave you one day for someone else, or God forbid, he or she dies. That doctor may have been giving you medication that appears to be helping, but have side effects that keeps you going back. We think that insurance policy and that big bank account can solve our problems, but just one sickness can dry up our reserves or our bank accounts. You see, there's a loving God that we cannot see, but he reveals himself to us in beautiful ways when we remember his name. All that the rich and wealthy craves, financial freedom, time on their hands to travel and spend time with the family, health, peace of mind, the unseen God can provide that. He can make all of that possible when you trust and obey. Remember, I said earlier that for you to have confidence in something or someone, you harm yourself with knowledge of that thing or someone. I put it to you this day that when you make that decision to harm yourself with the knowledge of God by reading his word and respecting what it says by living it, you will acquire the true wisdom, power, victory, peace of mind, and security that you need for this life and the life to come. You'll be a winner because you're on a winning team. You'll be a victor because Christ had already gained the victory for you, for me, by his death and resurrection over evil and death. Now let me explain the quote-unquote foolishness of God against the power of the horses and chariots that we spoke of. I'm going to make quick references to three examples from the Bible, and then part two will be my personal experience of how God showed up for me. The first reference is the Jericho story found in Joshua chapter 6. Excavation by archaeologists revealed that Jericho was a city with the oldest known protective wall in the world. Its early settlements date back as far as 9000 BCE, and by that I mean before Common Era, which is a secular version of BC before Christ. So in 1400 BC, the Israelites came up against Jericho after they crossed the Jordan and entered into Canaan. You see, when you side with God, he will make you to enjoy even the spoils and the substances of his enemies. You may be saying, but I've been serving God for such and such a time and nothing has been happening for me. I say this to you today, meekly wait and murmur not. Count your blessings every day and give thanks. When God proves your loyalty to him, he will show up for you. Just make up your mind to honor him through thick and thin. Besides, he already knows your heart. You cannot fool him. So here was the strategy. We're talking about the quote-unquote foolishness of God. The strategy was that seven priests will blow the trumpet ahead of the army. Behind them would be the priest who bears the Ark of the Covenant. Perhaps it was taken by two priests. But before these priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant was one army guy, and behind them another army guy. And then you have the host or the army behind these people. In my little limited knowledge of spiritual things, I'm gonna label those who blow the trumpet at the very front praise and worshippers. Those who know how to praise and worship, even when things are not going their way, they praise and worship, because what praise does, it changes things for us. And then behind the praise and worship is the disposition and the lifestyle of walking with God
upholding His word, His principles, what He stands for. And then everything else comes after that. So the instruction was to go around the city every day for 6 days once. And on the seventh day, they were to go around the city seven times. And upon the seventh time, the priest was to give a blast with the trumpet. And then the people will shout when they hear that cue. Simple, simple instruction. So they walked around the city day one. Then they walked around the city day two. Of course, they were blowing the trumpet and giving a joyful sound. And on day seven, they go around it six times. And on the seventh time, the priests gave the blast. And then there came the shout. When the shout came, the walls tumbled down. And behind those walls of the city, spoils and riches that the children of Israel inherited. Now, here's the thing. The instruction was simple and appeared stupid to the man who don't know God or have faith. That's team nature. They operate on what they can see, feel, and touch, what is logical and what is classified as facts or what can be proven as facts. And so it is foolishness to them. The onlookers, seeing the people going around the city for 7 days, probably said, "What are those crazy people doing? Who is their captain?" There's always going to be the naysayers. They're going to make you feel or doubt what you're doing is stupid, or make you feel like you don't know what you're doing. But it's very important that you maintain your faith and your focus, because with focus and faith, you will be victorious and you will achieve your goal and fulfill your dreams. But you need to know how to tune out the naysayers. And the naysayers can be those in your family, those in your household, those with whom you go to school, even your closest of friends. Nothing is too hard for God. He shows up miraculously for you when you trust and obey, even when it sounds stupid, quote unquote. Which now brings me to the second reference in the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 5. It was about a man whose name was Naaman. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of Syria. He was well favored by the king because God gave him victory over the battles that he fought. But he was a leper. Now Naaman's wife had a servant in the house who had the solution to his problem. Let me stick a pin real quick and say this. Wherever God places you, or whatever position you find yourself, sometimes you may very well be strategically placed to carry out a purpose or to deliver a message to someone. Because this was exactly the case of this young girl. She said to Naaman's wife, "I know somebody who can help your husband, somebody in Israel." So when the husband got the information, he reported it to his Lord, who sent a letter to the king or the government of Israel. Let's call it government. Of course, back then there were kings. So he sent a letter to the government, but the government, when upon receiving the letter, he never knew what to do. And so Elisha the prophet, God's servant, heard and said, "Send him to me." So when Naaman went to Elisha, he got simple instructions. Go dip in Jordan seven times. That's it. But guess what? The Bible said that Naaman became angry, because it's understood back then that Jordan was not a very clean waterbed or river or whatever you want to call it. It was dirty. And then to know that the solution was simple, it was like, "Do you take me for a fool?" Because I'm sure other people might have walked in the river or have access to the water. And why is it that they weren't healed? Or it seemed bizarre to say, okay, this water that is accessible to everybody, you're telling me to go dip seven times in a dirty Jordan? I tell you, it is foolishness to the man that has no faith, who operates in what he can see, feel, touch, what's logical, and what seems factual. But when you have faith, even the foolishness of advice, when you believe God, when you trust God, will bring you the victory, the joy, the happiness, and the fulfillment of your dream that you never thought you would realize. And so after he became angry, he was about to go back, and his servant that rode with him said, "Come on, you come this far, just try it. It won't hurt to try." And after he dipped on the seventh time, it's not going to be anything less or anything more. Whatever instruction we're giving you, do not shortchange it. Do not choose any shortcut. Do not do anything that you think will help it. Just follow the instruction as it was given to you. And when he dipped the seventh time, his skin was healed of the leprosy. God's heart is towards everybody. And whoever you are, the help that you need will come when you trust and obey. So I'm happy that Naaman ultimately listened to his little humble servant who said, "My Lord, just try. We come all this way. Just do it. It won't hurt." We're going to take it a little closer home to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. He went to a place called Lystra to spread the gospel. And in Lystra, there's such a man who has been lamed from the day of his birth. He has never walked. And while Paul was there talking, Paul looked directly at the man and saw that he had faith and said to him, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Now, members of Team Nature surrounding this man could have said, "That is not possible. Mind you hurt yourself. You may fall on your face or you may fall on your butt." So Team Nature was prepared to laugh at Paul and this man, because in their minds, this man has never walked from birth. So how can it be possible by just a man telling him to stand up and walk? What foolishness. What stupidity. Where there's faith, there's no fear. The simple ways that God chooses to bring deliverance to us will be labeled as foolishness by the so-called wise and unbelieving. But the faith you display will empower you from strength to strength. Which team do you rather be on today? Choose Team God. Choose faith. Thank you for listening to this episode of Reflections. Please join me again next week. Until then, stay blessed.